So we'll get our thoughts together here. We'll now call to order the Tax Relief for Pollution Control Property Advisory Committee. It is 10 a.m. We have the agenda available. If anyone in the audience does not have a copy of the handouts, they're out there on the table. You're welcome to get those. And it looks like I should have already done my count. I don't see, is anybody missing? I think we're all here. Bennett, I'm sorry. Yeah, Bennett's not here. Pardon?
Oh,
yeah, Lloyd's. You didn't meet Lloyd last time?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm right there, but you were in my seat when I came in, and now John's in my seat, and so I just thought I'd sit over here. But for the record, I told Bob when I sat down, I'm probably not to the right of Bob, just so y'all know.
Well, probably not.
Probably not.
I only sit here because there's a plug right here to put in my laptop. But anyway, everyone's here except Bennett, and hopefully he will be here soon. We'll go ahead and start our meeting. I'll, as usual, have general comments. Anybody have any general comments before we get started? Concerns? Temperature in the room's okay, all that? Okay. Then I'll also say the policy of for public comments during the committee meetings, for those in the audience, you're welcome and encouraged to participate in our discussion. However, we do have an agenda we want to get through, so there's a reasonable limit on time. I don't have an exact number time limit, but you're welcome, and I'll remind you of that several times as we go through the committee meeting. So with that, I would like to start by consideration of the advisory committee bylaws. I sent some draft proposed bylaws to you a couple of weeks ago. I've already received, I will say, based on a couple of discussion with several of you, I would like to amend Article 5.4 regarding voting. I would like to strike during the red part on mine, electronic mail. I'd like to strike electronic mail and add at the end of that sentence, and prior to a adjournment. There was a concern that someone could vote 2 days later. Don't allow that in part to adjournment. And add a new sentence. And I don't have this one perfect. I'm open to suggestions, but I just wrote down, votes by email will be allowed only for administrative matters. Is there a better way to word that?
Shouldn't we have that as so long as no one objects?
Good point. Provided no member objects. Any other discussion on this item?
Read back what you have.
Votes by email will be allowed only for administrative matters, provided no member objects.
How about administrative matters may be...
There's probably a better way to say that.
Come on, help me.
Voted on by electronic means.
Provided
no member of the advisory group.
Say that again, Mike.
Administrative matters may be voted on by electronic means, provided no member of the advisory committee objects. I guess members is capitalized. Let me see.
Okay, now I have administrative matters may be voted on by electronic means, provided no member objects. Is that better?
No member of the committee, capitalized committee.
No committee member.
I would just say no. The way the rest of the bylaws work is when they reference them, you say members of the committee. So you'd say no member of the committee objects.
Okay.
And I'd move those changes. You looking for a motion?
Yes,
please. I'd move those changes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Do we have any additional discussion?
basically for approving minutes, for example.
Right. And if you want, we can have a separate motion just for this amendment and one for all other. Or if you want to have one is the motion intended for to approve all the recommendations?
My motion was to approve all changes that have been offered with that, those additional changes included.
Okay. All right. There's been a motion and seconded. Do we have any additional discussion?
Would you like to read it again? Leo, it was for minutes and things like approving the, what do you call it, the annual
report?
Annual report and stuff like that. But
administrative matters.
Yeah.
That's why we call it administrative matters, too.
And if folks are wondering, it's beneficial to the commission if we can get that kind of stuff done fast so they can post it, is what we understand. Gets it on the internet faster, people, the public can view it faster.
Correct. Thanks for that clarification. That's why we don't wait till the next meeting to have it to approve the minutes. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? Would you like for me to restate the motion? Are we okay with it? All right, we'll call the vote. Those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Motion passes. Item number 3. Someone from TCEQ can give us an overview of the Tax Relief Program Annual Report, which is on your website. I did see that.
Ron Hatlett for the TCEQ. The annual report, 2010 annual report, starts out with a section on the background of the program, where it came from, legislative history. Then it goes into a general information section, which explains what the program does, what's exemptable and what's not. Then we get into program activities, which for 2010, that was the rule amendments that the committee helped us with. Then from there, we get into the program statistics, and I'll go over those real quickly. We received our first application November 21st, 1994, which makes us in our 18th year. We processed 14,849 applications through the end of 2010, you can throw another 1,500 almost on top of that since then. Did 994 applications in 2010. 62% were approved, 24% were withdrawn, 2% were denied, and 12% were still under review as of July 2011, which is when the report was written. 50% of the applications are from the two big non-attainment areas in the state, DFW and the Houston, Galveston, Brazoria County. Which makes sense because that's where most of the industry is. It's all on the coast. That represents 24% of the dollar value on the applications. The majority of applications for air pollution control equipment, which if those of you who have been around since the start of the program, remember this was originally pushed as a waste management issue. That was back in 92, 93. The big issues in the state was solid waste disposal and rec reissues. But as the program has grown, it's become more of an air issue than solid waste or water. The most frequently cited rules are the Oil Pollution Prevention Acts, both the state and federal ones, permit by rules, control of VOCs, the new source stationary source performance standards, and particulate matter issues. 70% of the applications have been filed by five types of facilities, chemical plants, electric facilities, generating stations, natural gas processing and storage, manufacturers of building materials, which to us, that's the lumber mills, the cement, ready-mix plants, asphalt plants, tile manufacturers, roofing material manufacturers, and then, of course, oil refineries. 12 appeals were filed during 2010. 11 were for negative determinations. 1 was for a change in ownership. 9 of those were withdrawn before the agenda. The other 2 were upheld by the commission. The agency has 60 days from declaring an application administrative complete to complete the technical review. During 2009, we averaged 38 days for 92% of our applications. In 2010, because of our move from the small business program into the chief engineer's office, the startup of a new database and a number of other issues, with that dropped from the 38 days average to 104 day average.
So how much?
104 days was our average technical review time. But since then, with this, in 2011, our average went back down to 7.29 days for a technical review. So we've corrected the problems. It was like a one-year deal. We've corrected those. We're turning them around a lot quicker again. And then at the back of the report, there's a list of every appeal that's ever been filed. And that's the report.
Can you give us a number? How many applications are on hold versus pending?
Thanks. Can you give us an update on how many applications have been or are still on hold outside of the normal review period?
Right. The only applications on hold are the HRSG applications, the heat recovery steam generators. And I think it was, I don't know, 30? It was 30, and then the five new ones, so it would be 35.
So, what are the five?
There's five new ones for HRSGs that were filed in the last 3 or 4 months.
And okay. Since we moved, we combined Tier 3 with Tier 4. When did that happen?
That was during the last rule process. The rules were effective June of 2011, or January 2011.
And do we know how many Tier 3 applications we've been getting?
There wasn't an increase. And we do 15 to 20 a year, and okay. It was still in that range.
On the HRSG deal, do we have any idea when they're going to hear, when the commission is going to hear that case?
I don't. What?
Okay. It's in the management review process. Okay.
Upper management.
All right.
Any other questions?
Thanks, Ron. There's currently 30 HRSG applications. Is that what you said?
30 or 35. Okay. There were...
We get you an exact number.
Yeah, there were 25, and then there were additional ones filed, and then there's the five new ones. But I'm not sure if I'm talking about the same five both times.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just trying to get an
idea.
It's
in that range.
If it's growing massively or moderately.
Moderately.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Most of these appeals are heat recovery.
Just turn it off again. Next item on the agenda, we're going to rediscuss or bring back to the table what we talked about last time, the application form and instructions. The TCEQ staff have reviewed, taken our comments from the last meeting, and they've proposed revisions. And that was sent to the committee, that was emailed to the committee. And I know Wayne also submitted an alternative. So I open it up for discussion. Or do we want to hear from TCEQ staff first, an explanation of their changes?
Yes.
Would that be helpful? Okay.
I can't remember.
Chance going to TCEQ. Excuse me, I have a head cold today, so I apologize for cracking voice. Sinuses are killing me. As you recall, we've had a lot of discussion about the current application, specifically the eligibility area where we asked for some leased and leased-to-own questions regarding equipment. And we attempted to move some sections around and reword some things. And if you all have a copy of the new application that we did, can briefly pinpoint you to where we made some substantial changes, because if you're looking at it from the current to this proposed, everything's jumbled around. We've moved a lot of stuff, so it's very hard to kind of track what we did, but it was just restructuring the application, and what I'll talk about is where we moved the questions that y'all had a concern about. So part of the reason why we moved the Section 1, Section 2, and Section 3 is there's a lot of processes that we don't have control over when stuff comes to the agency and they have a check attached to it. It can't come to us first. It has to go to the cashier's office. And that process is different from ours. And so when they make a copy of a check and whatever goes with it, they only make the first page. So we found that the information on the first page of the application wasn't matching up with the check. We had a trouble matching it up with what was paid. So that was our reasoning why we wanted the appraisal district, who owned the property, and where this equipment was on the first page, for the sheer fact that the cashier's office only makes a copy of the first page when they send it over to us. So that was our reasoning for that. On Section 1, Question 7, you'll see that we reworded that question and asking if there's any lease or lease-to-own agreement. As you find, it's not in the eligibility. On page 2, we, in Section 6, we added two more categories of ownership: a limited liability corporation and a utility. And then on the last page of the application, not the last page, but page 5, section 12 is the certification statement. And you'll find that that in order for an applicant to be eligible, they have to meet those 6 bullets there. And so that was what we thought would work, and we met the concerns of the committee about, you know, a company not being eligible because of a lease or lease-to-own agreement. We're just going to ask for that information elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think Wayne has made some comments, so...
Oh.
That's it. Anybody have any questions?
All right. Thanks, Chance.
Yes, I have a question. Two use determination applications here in Ohio.
Can you turn your mic on, please?
Okay, this is Leo Scher. I got two applications in my stack here, and both of them say on the bottom it's draft March 2012.
One's the Wayne Frizzell version, which says Wayne Frizzell. And
at the very bottom of the page, it says...
Okay, so we're... Because I was going to say all those changes were on both at the same time, so I was having... Sorry, Wayne, I didn't see your name there. Thank you.
Yeah, I just now saw it myself, so...
Any other questions?
I have one. Just out of curiosity, did the TCEQ like what I did as far as the changes I recommended? Because the thing that I really hated was that you had a question referring to questions you haven't gotten to yet on the first page, which is why I submitted my...
Can you explain that, point that out to us?
Well, on the original version, you had in Section 1, you had, is this property equipment owned by the CN listed in Question 4? And
the what section of the current of the current application was Question 4?
Well, let me.
I think they just mean Question 4 right there, the customer number.
Yeah, not Section 4.
Not Section 4, Question 4.
Section 1.
Are we talking about the current current application that's online, or are we talking about the proposed?
I think he's talking about your proposed, or TCQ's proposed.
The proposed. Okay, so we're looking at Question 4. That's the customer number. That is an identification that we use agency-wide for all of our customers or sites that we regulate. The customer number is generally, like, for instance, we have ExxonMobil. They would be considered the customer. Baytown Refinery would be considered the RN.
Okay. Well, if it's referring to the same thing in this section and you're calling it number four, you probably need numbers. You follow me?
I do not.
Okay. It says, is this property listed in question four? Well, you probably need numbers in front of these questions to refer to number four instead of somebody having to count down to number four.
It is.
It is.
It's four.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the one y'all originally sent out on email. Sorry.
Are there any questions? Thank you.
Well, give us just a second. Any discussion on Wayne's proposal? I personally tend to lean toward the TCEQ staff's proposal. There's a couple of things that Wayne added. For example, at the bottom of Section 3, you added a sentence there. I think their question on the RN probably handled it.
The problem was, is in the original one that they sent us, it did not have these numbers. And I was construing that they meant section number four that you haven't gotten to. And so let me now withdraw my suggestion. It no longer matters.
Okay.
Because, like I said, the original one they emailed to us did not have the numbers inside the section.
Okay.
And so
we'll consider your alternative withdrawn then.
Withdrawn, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'd like to make a suggestion on Section 3. There's not an appraisal district in the state of Texas that has taxing authority.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
We just need to reword that some kind of way. Just appraisal district. Probably suffice it.
That's a good point. You can't even tax for your own millage, right?
That's right.
You're on your own tax rate. Any other comments? I will say in general, I think it does. I don't know if it's totally fixed. I'm going to leave a little bit of wiggle room. But my concerns about the eligibility questions in the old one, I think we've taken care of that here, as far as I can tell. In other words, you don't have four questions, and if you answer yes to it, you're automatically out. So I think we're okay here.
Mr. Chairman, can I raise a question? I think it's for Roland here. Well, on Section 3, when you get this, the application gets filed here, you get notice of it, right? You get a copy?
Yeah.
Do you know the taxing entities that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, with that account number, I know it.
With the account number, you can easily get that.
Yep. That's what I thought.
Going back to Roland's original thing on the title and appraisal district, say an appraisal district where property or equipment is located, just to be definitive.
I'm okay with that if you think it's necessary.
Well, in Section 3, where right now it says, you know, we took off with taxing authority. And I was just saying make it appraisal district where property is located. Or something to that effect.
Wasn't it rendered?
No, it...
No, I don't think Rendered was.
The word Rendered wasn't there.
No, I'm saying you're just stuck here. You're talking about the title.
Right.
If you look at the actual instruction sheet.
Sorry. If you look at the instruction sheet, the first sentence. Look at the first sentence of the instruction sheet under Section 3.
Oh, good point. But
it says, enter the name of the appraisal district in which the property equipment is rendered. I know you're talking about the title, but would we want to say located and then rendered? I'm just looking for consistency.
Well, I just wanted to be plain when somebody reads the application. You could put where the property is rendered. I mean, that'd be fine.
I'd prefer located in both.
Well, why don't you just go to Section 2 and have them put the county? And by the county, you define in the appraisal district. You got the street address, city, state, and zip, but the county.
Mm-hmm.
You'd no longer have any overlapping appraisal districts, what I'm saying.
Right.
It says put county right there. Less is more.
What's that?
And then.
Yeah, but they would know what appraisal district it is by the county.
Well, that's true, too. But by the county, if you had county location, that would define it.
And then move your account number up under Section 2?
Yeah, that's fine.
I like that.
This is addressing the issue where you have a jurisdiction, like a school district, is appraised by...
Those are gone.
That's all gone?
Yeah, overlapping.
So why are we struggling with if it's in the county, it's in the county?
That's what I'm saying. Just put the county down there and move forward.
Yeah.
And then change it to appraisal district.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Then we're talking about doing away with Section 3 altogether.
Yeah. I think you could.
Yeah.
Put it all under 2.
Leave it.
Yeah, simplifies it. Seems just one way and half dozen the other to me.
Well, it just seems cleaner to do that.
Looks like good government to me.
That would have all location information in one section. Yeah.
Did we do it in here?
I'm all right with that.
We have to do it in your instructions, too.
Right, and you'll clean up the instructions. Presumably, would be you'd eliminate Section 3 out of both, and you'd probably have to renumber. You would have to renumber, and that might change some cross-referencing. But.
Right.
In the end, it'll be a shorter document.
Is that the will of the committee? Do we need a motion to do this?
Well, you had an item. I was going to ask you. You have an item which is our recommendations, item B, on the agenda. Is your intent to kind of group up all of our recommendations as a slate and then just move those together and then staff takes them? Is that the idea? Because we've had a few
if
things.
If it's cleaner, we can take it separate motions. Whatever's easier for the minutes and going forward.
But in the end, am I right,
Mr. Chairman, as Mike's saying, you're looking for a motion to recommend changes to the application.
Hmm. Right.
And instructions. Yeah.
Right.
And so what we're doing is going through and adopting changes that we will then en masse, theoretically, approve
right.
A motion to recommend.
Right. The recommendation could have been we approve all of TCEQ's proposal, but now we're getting to some revisions. And so, yeah, my thoughts were we needed to make a decision whether we were to advise and realizing that TCEQ can not take our advice. I realize that. But my thoughts were to provide some advice.
I move that we recommend eliminating Section 3. Changing, but adding those two items to Section 2, making appraisal district just county, and then make the appropriate changes to the instructions.
Okay.
Second.
And we did, you did say add appraisal district. Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Do we have an additional discussion on this item? I will call for a vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries.
Can I ask a basic question about this application form?
Sure.
Okay. So if I'm a company that has five different pieces of property that I want to apply for a use determination for, is it just one front sheet and then section four and beyond I have, or is it a separate application for each piece of equipment?
If they're not in the same location, you have to have a separate...
No. I mean, it's the same facility, but I'm doing, I'm applying for a bag house and a scrubber, so they're not physically linked. Is it two different applications, or is the front sheet, it's two applications? So then, therefore, shouldn't the note that's at the bottom of section 10, separate applications must be filed for each piece of non-integrated pollution control property equipment, be somewhere right on the front, like in the first paragraph, so it's clear, so somebody doesn't make that mistake and cause, you know what I mean? Just having that note right in the first paragraph.
Well, I think what you're saying is making sense, but do you have that problem?
Do you have that problem?
Do you have any problem with that now?
No. No. Okay. Forget it.
It's okay. It's good to bring up.
Yeah.
Don't break what's not fixed.
Okay.
Tim Reedy, TCQ Environmental Law Division. I just wanted to be clear about something for when we go back over this. I'm not sure if it was captured in the last motion. I just didn't hear it. But it was to eliminate Section 3, add county into Section 2, and then this was the part that I didn't hear in the motion. It was appraisal district account number or numbers to be added to Section 2?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. I'm just not sure that was in the motion.
Yes, that's what I asked to clarify.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the way I intended it.
Okay. Good deal.
You might look at the actual text and be different, but that's why I asked the question.
There was one thing left out, but I'm sure the TCEQ can handle renumbering the other sections.
Right, and changing instructions accordingly.
Yeah. Okay. Mickey Hart last night.
Anything else on the application?
I'm pausing.
One last thing, Bob. Sorry.
Okay.
It's John Nichols. So we're going to eliminate the bullet point for appraisal district. Are we going to rename the next item below appraisal district account number?
Yes.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you.
Anything else on the application? That was a suggestion for a later date, but I'll save that for now because it relates to Tier 3. All right. If we have no additional comments on this, we've already had a motion, so I think we can go forward. I don't want to move too quickly off of this. We might have a quick meeting today. Do we have any? I think we might have some old business. Is there any old business that someone wants to bring up?
We did have a vote on 4B.
Yes. Yes. Well, I apologize. Yes, I did. Yeah, I said motion carried. Yes.
Was that on the motion to make a rule change, or was that all the changes to the whole thing?
Well, we only made the one change, and I said renumber or correct the...
So don't you want a motion to recommend all the changes?
Correct. To approve all other revisions as proposed by TCEQ.
Oh, okay.
Is staff actually asking us to recommend the full slate or just to adjust what's already been prepared?
Our opinion on what you presented, right?
At your last committee, you asked us to go through the application and address your issues on the document you supplied from the last advisory committee meeting. And we went through all those and addressed it throughout the application and its instructions, excuse me. So the idea was, if y'all were okay with what changes we made, then y'all would vote on that today. If y'all are not okay with the rest, or if y'all still want to discuss further the application, that's still open to you guys.
We just want you to stop talking.
We want you to go. We want you to go home and get well.
Mr. Chairman, Roland Beamer, I would move that we adopt the draft with the changes that we've made in the previous motion.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any additional discussion? At this point, I want to give the audience an opportunity. Do we have any input from the audience before we vote on this? Okay, I see none.
Let me ask this question.
Okay.
I mean, we're just saying we agree with their opinion. I mean, we're not the ones changing it.
That's right.
They are.
Correct.
Just for clarity, we're saying we
it's our recommendation.
With we agree with their what their recommendation
right.
is.
Right. This is advice.
Right. For clarity, we have no authority to change rules. We can only approve.
And I'm just bringing this up because, you know, when we see each other each quarter, a lot of time has elapsed, and just clarifying for the audience that what our role is in this.
Correct. Okay. Any additional discussion? All right. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries. Now I think we can. Did we miss any motions that should have been made? I think we're clear. Before we move on.
Are you calling for a motion to adjourn?
No, not yet. Not yet. Do we have any old business?
As painful as it will be in future meetings, I think it is a good idea for us to move forward with a revisitation of the cap calculation. And I understand that staff would like to deal with the Herzig situation, and there's a good reason I understand that. But given the way the legislation of 09 works in terms of timing, we've got this universe of Herzig applications out there. They're going to get dealt with kind of on their own merit. Nothing we are going to recommend is going to affect those. Those have to be dealt with. It's much like the Valero situation procedurally.
The pending ones.
And as every day passes, you could theoretically be taking in more applications, and we've seen that where the universe continues to grow.
They would fall under the new.
They would. But as I understand it from staff, we've had very good discussions in here about how the cap doesn't quite work well for all applications, and so I think everybody understands we need to revisit the cap to see if there needs to be different types of calculations for different types of things. I won't predict what that debate will be, but I think waiting on that debate until all the Herzig applications have passed are clear is perhaps not a good idea, to use an old phrase. It's not wine and cheese. Those applications are not getting better with age. They're going to be moved out on their own time frame, but we all as a body probably need to go ahead and do the hard work of working through different ideas to revise the cap. And I certainly understand why the agency would like to see those Herzigs get off the dialogue, but we're not going to be talking about those Herzigs. We're going to be talking about
new Herzigs.
New stuff.
So let me ask a question, Mike. When did the last set of rule changes go into place?
2010. Correct.
The ones we were working on?
January 2011. January of 10?
December
13th. 09 legislation, rulemaking, and then
okay,
January.
Ron, is voted on December?
December 13th, 2010.
Yes, okay.
So we're a year into that. We're a year into those rules. When is the next scheduled rule review process? Is that how many? I forget what the interval is on that.
Good question.
1131 in,
just every 3 years.
To look at the equipment list.
So my guess is, unless the commission and the staff indicate different to us, they probably aren't looking for an interim set of rule changes to make. They have a requirement to do every 3 years, review the whole rule. So, Mike, we would be, do you agree that, or do you think that we are starting to talk about this for the next set of rule changes, or are you talking about a trying to get a rule change done between the major rule changes?
At the risk of sounding cynical, I think it might take that long.
No, I think that's fair.
I mean, I'm not looking for us to
kind of
be...
I just kind of want to start thinking about what is the timeline of this.
Yeah, and right? And again, I don't know what staff desires or not. I just am throwing out there. I don't want us to... I mean, there's not a lot on our agenda to do. That's an outstanding item. I would think the sooner we start having an informed discussion about it, the better for staff. But ultimately, it would be consummated in a rule, and I wouldn't recommend at this point that we have some kind of off-year rule. If the commission came to us and said, hey, we would actually like to codify this idea since we think it's so brilliant, it ain't going to come from me.
Well, in order to have any discussion, though, somebody's going to have to come up with
right.
some alternatives, and...
That's why we need to start.
I mean,
we all agree on it. It'll be brilliant.
I personally have, you know, and we would need the time to, if somebody presents an idea, to, you know, run scenarios to see if we think it's, you know, a decent way to do it or not. So I have no objection if somebody wants to present an idea on how to handle that we could, you know, look at it and see if it's has merit.
And maybe we ought to ask next meeting the staff to represent to us their statement of the problem and the problems they're encountering.
And I want to remind the committee, we did vote, I checked on minutes back in 2010, I think, that we did vote to agree that there is one size does not fit all, but the cap does not work for all applications. So that's we're coming back to that, and I'll go ahead and throw it on the table what I specifically said I would not say in the application before we voted on it. Just something to consider later on. And of course, the rule would need to be changed for this, but Section 7, I'm looking at page 3, top of the page 3, to me, this is a common sense type of thing. Where it says, does the property equipment generate a marketable product? We might think about, does the property equipment generate a positive net present value from a marketable product? And the point is, as we've talked about, if you know you will never make any money. In other words, the cost will always be more than the income you get from it. Why do you have to go through that long process? That's one idea.
I'm not following.
In Tier 3 right now, if you have any marketable product, you're required to go through the income less the operating cost. So whatever that net is taken off as partial use determination.
But selling... Maybe I might be missing something and just need to get my hands around it better. But in most of these situations, the way I understand it is, you've got a byproduct. You can sell it to mitigate your cost. You don't make money on it. You're reducing your cost of producing your original widget, right? You produce widgets. You get a marketable byproduct A that comes out of that production of widgets, and you get some revenue out of that. That's why you sell it, and that reduces your cost of producing the widgets. Is that not the situation you're talking about?
I'm sure Ron can give you more stats on this, but the Tier 3s I'm aware of, there is a net present value or a net income,
right,
or whatever you want to call it. In other words, income less expenses. You've got a positive there. And that's what's used to calculate the partial use determination.
So you're saying that in the current calculation, we make people go through it just to throw it out?
You want an easier way to say that it costs so much you'd never get your this will never pay for itself. So why do you have to go through the huge calculation? So right. He wants a simplified, what do you call it?
Be more like a tier one. It'd be closer to a tier one.
Well, it's more like a tier two, but a simplified calculation. It costs you $1 million to put it in, and you make $1 a year. Why should you have to go through the tier three calculation? Now,
to find out and report that you're only making $1 a year and not $100,000 a year?
Right.
To put that on the record?
He wants a simplified, what do you call it, gatekeeper to decide whether you have to go through the tier three calculation.
If it's, I'm sure these guys have other examples, but if everybody in the industry and everybody at TCQs knows intuitively that, and you raised a good point, you could push it to that if that's the case, if there's no positive net present value, then you kick it to a tier two. That's another option I hadn't thought about until just then.
Right, but it is less time and less money. We're talking about trying to improve the process, and if everybody can agree to what that would look like, you still have to present data and calculations under one and two. You're still having to represent details and technical basis. It's just the difference of whether you actually have to go through a tier three in that, what we call a no-brainer situation. Well, it's a threshold question.
Maybe we can talk offline and help me get my hands around this. What I'm confused about, and I'm sure I'm just not understanding something that's probably simple and I should understand, is that I'm not understanding the concept of there being a marketable byproduct with a net present value versus positive net value. I guess I'm just not understanding that concept.
Well, I'm using positive as an adjective. It's maybe not necessary. In other words, as opposed to a negative net present value, if you run the calculations, you get a negative number.
If you get a negative number, you're not going to market it. If you lose money by producing the byproduct and marketing it, why would you market it? I'm not trying to be tough.
No, you wouldn't.
Let's talk about a self-recovery unit.
Yeah.
Kyle's $30 million, $40 million. And they end up with a product, sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, Ron, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've, depending on what the cost of the sulfur is, or the marketability of the sulfur and interest rates, you could have an identical unit, and one of them have a 70% exemption, and one of them have a 40% exemption. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And right. I think what we're trying to do is trying to standardize that some way to make it fairer. Depending on what year you come in with your application, you can get a better deal, you can get a worse deal.
That does seem like a fundamental flaw, doesn't it?
It does to me. It
does to me too. That a competitor in that marketplace can come in 2010, and because the sulfur market is good, get less of an exemption, and his competitor comes in 2 years later when the sulfur market is bad, and he gets a much worse exemption. To me, it's a fundamental flaw.
That's in the cap. That's a flaw in the cap, then.
That's right.
Because that applies to everything.
Well, but it's also, would it not be a flaw in the statute, and that the statute kind of locks in an exemption that can be based upon a dynamic marketplace, but locks it in for all the future, no matter what changes in the economy, what changes in the...
Mm-hmm.
In the situation.
And I realize sometimes we talk in a circle, but sometimes it's helpful. But that's why we've talked about the use, whatever the use of the property is, if it's for pollution control, versus what little bit you might could get, have a positive income from it? I don't know. I don't have the fix. I don't.
Yeah, and I think the, again, not to dive in, my intention wasn't to get into the merits. I think that was great to show how we might actually have some consensus lingering out there on some small issues, and
right.
and just really maybe from a procedural standpoint to post on our next meeting's agenda discussion of proposals, and somebody has, you know, a slow summer and can come up with something, then we can actually talk about it. And to Wayne's point, people can take it back, run with it, and then we'll, you know, move. If we decide to move forward, it'll be in a subsequent meeting. But because we are only really meeting quarterly, you know, well, we could let a lot of months fly by and not have done anything on it.
I think it's a good idea, but at the next meeting, we could have a workshop on it. No action going to be taken. We'll talk about it.
Great idea.
Speaking of that, I just want to get to feel the pulse of the committee. It could be we need to meet a little bit more often if we're going to tackle this. And because we do tend to not think about something until 3 months later. So
if we were coming up close to when we have to do something, I might agree to meeting more often. But I mean, that's something to think about. But right now, I don't personally think that's something we need to worry about. But I have a question to the TCEQ staff. Is there anything else that y'all have that we need to look at for you?
No, not at this time. I would like to say that y'all can meet on your own and talk about things without this open public meeting. You just can't vote on anything.
Without bothering you. Huh?
So, I mean, meet all you want. We don't have to be involved.
Right. I think just, the initial
you
meeting.
You can't vote on anything and make a decision until you're back here
freedom
together.
Up, include us.
Yeah. So. But of course, I think the first idea, which is to have a workshop, TCEQ runs us back through the problem because, you know, I maybe remember 10% of the problem. That would be a good initial stop, but we may just choose to have separate workshops that don't involve.
How about an offer that we give y'all the audio file from that second meeting? Because that's a six-hour meeting. So yeah. I mean that would get everybody back maybe, on the same page that y'all were back when we started.
Maybe at
this.
A minimum, put 20-10 minutes on your website.
Sagan.
You're still working to do that, right?
Right. Well, okay. We've got some space issues.
Okay.
We're working on it. But we can get you the file. That's not a big deal. I mean, that would bring Mr. Graham back up to where y'all are.
No, I think it's
and he would hear that discussion and the context of that discussion. I think that would be more rewarding to everyone here rather than us going and recreating that wheel.
Better have a pot of coffee before you start that.
I would do respect as an educator in the room. Is it those of us that will remember? Is it Live or is it Memorex? If technology would replace the lesson, would replace the teacher, I've got 1,200 folks in LaPorte that would be unemployed. I look forward to having the audio to review, but I'd like some FaceTime with you guys about it, however we choose to do that.
Sure. I mean, I'm just saying to bring everybody up to speed, and that way when we talk about it the next time, it's on everybody's mind, that discussion. I mean, we would still be here available to, you know, discuss, and but to, you know, represent, we want to hone that down, not make a five-hour meeting of that.
Mm-hmm.
So just a suggestion.
Can I have two other questions that could be the topics of future agenda items, but maybe they're simple answers and they don't need to be. One is, and I forgot to ask this during the report on the 2010 report, is a budgetary issue. And the question is, do the fees that are raised off of the Prop 2 applications cover the cost of the employee? In other words, is the program paying it for itself in terms of the time of the TCEQ? Because that I don't see that in the 2010 report. I don't know if there's any way to, at a future meeting, just Because as we look at these programs, we may say, well, the fees are either too high or they're too low, because you want the program to pay for itself, I would think, just in terms of the staff time. So I don't know if there's an answer to that question, or that could be presented at a future meeting. Ron, I don't know if...
I'm sure we could gather that
information. Yeah, it would seem like a basic... It would help the committee know if those are appropriate fees. Then my second issue, which we may not need to discuss, or we may, is there are a series of new regulations that EPA have come up with, not only on coal plant, but on the gas industry. And I'm wondering if we need to think about that at all in terms of what industries might be impacted and what type of pollution control equipment may then become eligible for. It's just something, you know, to sort of anticipate what may be, you know, like the new rules on oil and gas facilities and air pollution control. Are all the types of equipment that they're talking about being required by EPA, are those things already on our Tier 1 list? I'm just sort of anticipating new regulations or the MAC standards on coal plants, that's going to go, you know, through appeals and court cases, and it'll be a while till those are probably ready to go. But again, is that, would it be worth it to have that on our agenda and have just a little thinking about that in the future, or is it not worth our time?
Are you looking for a physical comment on it? Kind of or economic impact?
No, more assuming these rules go through, what sort of equipment are we talking about? And is that equipment that we've already sort of anticipated is on our Tier 1 list already, so we're prepared for it? Or is it something we need to sort of revisit? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm just... For example, they just came out with the rules on oil and gas facilities for air pollution, new air pollution standards for oil and gas facilities. So whether it's shale plays or traditional oil and gas, there's going to be new regulations on those.
You're talking about drilling.
Well, more the
production, I think.
The operation of the condenser tanks and the motors, yep, all the stuff connected to oil and gas. And then I was also thinking about the MACT rules on coal plants for mercury and others. And I just think it may be worth thinking about whether we think all that equipment is already covered. And if we don't have an answer today, we can, you know, put that on a future agenda. Just,
you know, no, I think a lot of what we might see, what will be required, it's likely to be pretty classic pollution control equipment, but there are, and I really think that's a good idea. There are some of the rules, for instance, the GHG BACT. What is the control? What is the control there? And I think that would be an interesting and possibly beneficial thing for the committee to get their heads around and potentially provide some recommendations.
Right, because if we're revisiting these rules every 3 years and we think, well, today we don't know what's going to happen with some of those rules. It depends if my side or Mike's side wins in the court cases. But, we should anticipate that there will be changes.
I mean, BACT for greenhouse gases and permitting, there may not be a control device that you're putting on. So, I mean, it's a really good discussion and something we don't need to close our eyes about.
No, I think it's a healthy conversation. I think the...
Minor, before you sit down.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to ask you to identify himself. Minor, would you identify yourself for the record, please? Oh. I don't think everybody...
I'm Minor Hibbs, DCEQ.
Okay. All right,
this is Mike Nasty, the guy who's on the other side of this issue from Cyrus. But I would agree with Cyrus about the desire to always be looking at the Tier 1 list, and I think that's why we review it every 3 years. And I think it's probably more – so I think we'll be doing that, Cyrus, probably coincidentally in a time when the rules might actually seek some finality by that time. But, you know, just to give you a general answer on electric generation, a lot of the control technologies will be things that are really already there because we've had a mercury regulation in place before. But I think that it tees up a discussion, and Minor maybe hinted at it here a little bit. When you start to get into greenhouse gas regulation, I'm definitely going to be sitting here reminding everybody of these issues when we talk about the cap, because the world's a different place when we start regulating, mandating efficiency. It gets very tricky in the cap. So we could just
wait after the November election, see what happens then.
Right, or we could just all shut off the lights and, you know, sleep in the hot.
I got to say, that's one option, but then we'd be in the next year's legislative session, and I don't want politics to bleed over into here unnecessarily. Not that it would, but yeah. Possibility there.
It's John Nichols. On the flip side, I guess the process is designed, it occurs to me, to be able to capture new types of property that may be 100% dedicated to pollution control. If it's not on the predetermined list, then you file a Tier 2 and you just, you know, it goes through the process, it hits the radar screen, it becomes an item then that staff would suggest might be appropriate to add to the Tier 1 list. So, you know, I don't want to reinvent the wheel either, and so, you know, I don't know how much time we're talking about and how much resources we're looking at to try to comb through what may be coming down the pike, but just food for thought.
I have a question of mine or someone from DCQ to circle back on what Cyrus said. Is it within our scope for this committee to review the fee structure of the Prop 2 program?
Once again, Tim Reedy, Environmental Law Division.
We're okay if the answer is no.
No, it's one of the things that we did in the last, you know, rulemaking was look at increasing the fees due to the amount of time spent on Tier 3 applications. And I think it's, well, you know, this committee gave advice on that, and I think it's we need to be beholden to you guys as to say either that fee increase has been enough or is too much or is not enough.
So. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, and I don't have an opinion on it, by the way. I just wanted to know. It just seemed to be, it's not an annual report. Is here's how much we spent and here's how much we brought in, and given the likely budget in 2013, it's good to always be thinking about these things.
And the only reason I asked Cyrus just to clarify is because we have generally focused more on rules and fee structure. I guess it is rule. It could be rules, but it just seems to take it to a different area. But I'm okay with that. Any additional other items? Any old business? Any other old business? Any new business? We're getting close to the end, and we're welcome to hear anybody from the audience.
Move to adjourn.
All right. We have a second motion to adjourn and a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, aye. No. Thanks, guys, for coming.
All right.
Have you seen Blaine?